Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690. Pierre McGuire on TSN 690 is brought to you by the Dagwood Sandwich Experience. Top quality meats and cheeses, freshly baked bread, veggies in special sauce. Dagwood's, a Montreal original for over 25 years.
Back home in Connecticut after spending the night in Slapshot territory. How are you today, Pierre?
Mitch, I'm great. You know, I have to share one thing with you and the listeners.
Sure.
One of my real first moments that I remember outside of sports, going to a Stevie Wonder concert at the Forum.
There you go, Pierre. Stevie Wonder. Stevie Wonder.
He's going to probably 76 or 77.
He's going to shout out for Pierre. He's going to look for you and he won't be able to see you.
Oh, but if I was there, he would. The lights would be flashing off my head.
Yeah, I still don't think he'd see you.
No, but it's one of the, when I was a young man, obviously I defied it most of my life through sport, but I remember going to a Stevie Wonder concert, having enough money to actually buy the ticket on my own, and going with a bunch of friends from school, and I just thought it was awesome.
Well, if it was mid-70s, that would be interesting to see the ticket stub. I'm going to guess $8, maybe $12, something like that.
$8 to $10, absolutely.
Produced
right in there.
Yeah, produced by Donald K. Donald.
Yes, sir.
So you seemed like you guys had a lot of fun last night for a variety of reasons.
We did. It was great. It was Jeremy was outstanding. Doc Emmerich was off the charts. The Hanson brothers and Bob Costas were fun. Matt Murray made it a real good game. The goalie for Pittsburgh, who played 4 years in Sault Ste. Marie, and he's basically the American Hockey League version of Carey Price, won every award you could possibly win as a goalie last year. He was outstanding. So it was a fun night, and I was really happy for Jonathan Drouin. That was a spectacular play that he made for a goal.
Yeah, we're going to get to Drouin in a second. For those who didn't see it, one of many highlights was to see Evgeny Malkin in the pregame skate with a Hanson Brothers type of glasses on.
He was great in that game, playing with Patrick Hornquist and Sergei Plotnikov, who's a young kid, played 3 years in the KHL with Yaroslavl, had to buy his last year of his contract out, which would have been this year, so he could sign with the Penguins as a free agent coming out of the KHL. He and Malkin had instantaneous chemistry at the beginning of camp. They still have it now, and he's a thick-bodied guy. They have him listed about 202 pounds, but he plays like he's 215. He's a freight train. He's a tough guy to contain.
All right, so Jonathan Drouin, it appears that he is poised to break out this season.
He is. I think he is. We'll see, but he looked so comfortable last night compared to any time I saw him last year. Visiting with him in the morning, I think I shared with you the leadership mantle that Stamkos possesses now, and he wants to pay it forward the way Marty St. Louis train Steven to be a player in the league. Steven wants to train Jonathan Drouin to be that kind of a player in the league. So, you know, you've got a lot of positive things going on around the Tampa room. But for me, watching it, Jonathan Drouin has a chance to have a really, really solid year.
Yeah, and again, it looks like he's going to start at least the way that John Cooper can move Stamkos around as we've seen. But he looks like he's going to start playing alongside Stamkos.
Stamkos and either Ryan Callahan or Alex Killorn. I would say probably Callahan at this time, but we'll see. Killorn, by the way, has only played one preseason game. I think they know what they have there. I think they're just trying to see how Jonathan Drouin does. But, no, I think Jonathan's got a chance to spend a lot of time with Steven Stamkos.
Conditioning for practice, I feel 100%. I haven't gotten to a game. That's a different story. But when you skate alone, I think it's harder conditioning than practice. So my practice shape is there, but you can't tell a game until you play one.
I was really impressed about the time that he put in effort to come back in the lineup, and we're glad that it's going to be there. I think it's crucial for him because he could be in shape and game shape. It's totally two different things.
All right. So what do you think, Pierre? You know, nobody really knows except Max himself, but he is ready to play. He's going to play. He's going to wear a brace. He's going to play tomorrow, and he's going to probably play, I would imagine, on Saturday, and then he's ready to go for the opener as long as there's no swelling or anything.
I was dumbfounded in a positive way. I came home very early this morning, and spoke at an event here in Connecticut, and then went home and had lunch with Melanie, my wife. And I said, you won't believe this, but I think Pat Chiaretti's actually going to be playing in an exhibition game and ready for the season opener. She goes, no way, based on what we had heard over the summer, especially here in Connecticut and in New Canaan. And I said, no, I'm telling you the truth. And then I called somebody, and they said, yeah, if he can play in the exhibition game on Saturday, it looks like he's going to be ready to open the season against Toronto.
I still do have a little bit of a limp, but at the end of the day, skating's a little bit easier than walking because you're gliding and just feel much better on the ice than I do on dry land, and I think that's to be expected from what the doctors have told me. So I feel good. I've made good progress.
So what would you say to those who reacted like you did and then hear Pat Chiaretti speak today as he did about still walking with a limp, but the doctors say that's normal, who are going, wait a minute, what's the rush here?
Okay, so the one thing that I do know from having been through it as an athlete, you might limp, but that doesn't mean it affects your skating, and it doesn't mean it's going to affect you long term. And I only speak to this from having played college football and college hockey. And the injuries that would bother me in football would not bother me in hockey. And the injuries that would bother me from hockey wouldn't bother me in football. So it's two totally different things, just because it's different kinds of muscles. And it's different kinds of points of pressure, especially when you skate compared to when you run or you walk. So that's something that wouldn't concern me that much. And again, I defer to Dr. Mulder and Dr. Lacroix and Graham Reinben and all the medical people that are, those guys are as good as there is in the league. So if they feel comfortable with it, then I'm comfortable with it.
They asked me what type of shape I'm in. I can't really answer that until I play a game. So game shape is always different. We got two more left on the schedule. I think, normally I play about three or four exhibition games. So if I play two, I think it puts me in a good spot. But, just hoping for the best.
All right, so he might start the season.
You need to get whacked around a little. Part of it, and I do this with the young boys that I work with here in Connecticut, some of Ryan's friends or some of his teammates. Resistance training is really important, especially when contact's involved. Doesn't mean you have to go out there and just demolish somebody, but there's one way to skate when there's nobody pushing you or defending against you, and it's another thing to have to battle on the boards, to get hooked on or tugged on a little bit. It's a different kind of strength and a different kind of wind, and it just takes a little bit more time to get up to that game shape that people talk about.
Given everything, all the injuries that Pat Chiaretti's been through, one would think that he's to a degree used to it by now, Pierre, when it comes to trusting the body part that's injured, right? If it's your first leg injury, I'd believe if you're going into the corner for the first time, maybe you're a little bit unsure. But since he's been through it, one would think that it should be a little bit easier, right?
I think so. I think, again, that's a valid point, Rod. I'm flabbergasted. I know the people that train him. And I know how intense his workouts are. I'm talking about Max. Ben Prentice, I told you 3 or 4 years ago, didn't I, Mitch, that this is going to be the new it guy. Everybody's going to be talking about him. Every article you read from a lot of American-born players, and even Brad Richards, who's from Murray River, Prince Edward Island, he trains with him. Marty St. Louis trained with him. This Ben Prentice is something else. I was surprised when I heard that Max got hurt in a training situation down in Florida with skating, because I know how they do their program. I mean, I have so much respect for the way Ben does his business, so I was really surprised that this whole injury actually happened.
With Pierre McGuire every day at 5:05, Aaron Ward of TSN will join us after 6, and then Gabriel Farnese of the Sports Forecaster for you fantasy hockey players getting ready for your fantasy draft. Gabriel will join us in studio about 6:20. Jared Tenorti after the skate.
Yeah, I haven't even thought about it, to be honest. I mean, everyone keeps bringing it up, but it's not something that's on my mind. I mean, my goal is to play here. I don't want to play anywhere else.
That is Tenorti when he was asked if there's added pressure because of his situation, right? If they send him down, he's got to clear waivers, and clearly there's this belief that several teams would be interested in claiming Jared Tenorti off waivers. So Pierre, a few days ago, you told us that you were hearing Devontae Smith-Pelly's name out there. I'm just curious, with the glut of defensemen that they have, the NHL-ready defensemen, if you've heard any of their names out there.
I have not. That's being as transparent as I can be. I mean, I have not heard anybody from Montreal's name mentioned on defense at all.
Okay, so Subban, Markov, Petrie's been playing with Yamalin. Gilbert, yep. Beaulieu. Those are the top six. So you got Pattern, Tenorti, and Barbario. Pattern is ready. We've talked about him. He doesn't need to be in the American Hockey League anymore. Barbario moves the puck very well. He's an NHL defenseman, correct?
Yes, correct.
So what happens to Tenorti here? I guess we're going to keep mentioning this unless and until a decision is made here on opening night. What do you think is going down here?
Maybe it's more than just him. If Montreal seems internally to think they have a weakness, maybe he's packaged with another player to try to get somebody that they really need. They've identified, but I don't know. I guess more than anything else with this stuff is that you have to kind of wait till the end and see how it plays out. It's not bad to have extra bodies either, as long as you're cap friendly. So sometimes at the beginning of the season, maybe you carry an extra body or two, depending on how it plays out. I mean, you know, you can get to 24. It's okay. At 24, you're okay.
You know, drive yourself crazy thinking about things like that. So, you know, my focus is on the game tomorrow. I mean, I'm not sure if I'm playing or not, but I'm going to prepare today as if I am. So, you know, that's my focus right now.
So, Pierre, can you clarify? You get to 24. It's a 23-man roster.
Yep.
The two goalies, Mitch mentioned two extra defensemen, which means you've got one extra forward. Could you hide someone somehow to manipulate the roster to carry an extra body? And if so, how do you do that?
Yeah, well, there's so many different ways. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Guys that don't need to be recalled. I mean, there's just so many different ways you can do it. Injured reserve, LTI, long-term injury. I mean, there are different ways of doing it. I don't know what Montreal's philosophy is on it, just because I haven't talked to anybody there about it, but there are a lot of different ways to do it.
Pierre, we remember last year in the playoffs how important it was to have bodies on defense. Now, when you look at the contending teams from around the NHL, is there any teams that you have noted that have a need at defense?
I would like to talk to Gar Snow, but in Montreal's situation, I'm not sure I want to do that. They're going to probably rely on some younger ones to try to get them through. Islanders would be one team where there's huge expectation level. I'd want to talk to them. I may want to talk to New Jersey, depending on what they're going to do with some of their forwards and knowing the rebuild they're going through right now. Pittsburgh's got a lot of young ones. Here's how you got to look at Pittsburgh. They're going to score a ton of goals. I'll tell you that right now. They will score a ton of goals. But when you start losing Paul Martin for nothing, Brooks Orpik for nothing, Matt Niskanen for nothing, Simon Dupre for Ben Lovejoy, you get Ian Cole, but you give up Robert Bortuzzo. You start looking at the defensemen that have been moved out of there or they've lost for nothing since the management changed over from Ray Shearer to Jim Rutherford. They're a team that's going to have holes on defense. I think Pittsburgh's a team you may want to talk to. But again, Islanders and Pittsburgh are in the East. I'm not sure if you're in Montreal's situation, you want to load them up or help them out anyway.
Right. And you know, further to the Tenorti situation, their mindset, the Mark Bergevin and his staff right now, as they try to wade their way through this to make an important decision for the team this year, a team that they believe finally is ready to contend for a Stanley Cup. How much of the fact that they didn't draft Tenorti enters into it, or is he just a young, promising defenseman they watched develop? He's not as further along as maybe they'd hoped, but how much of that is part of their thought process that he was actually drafted by another regime, if at all?
You know what? That's such a good question, Mitch. I think in the old days that mattered a lot, but Trevor Timmons is still there. Trevor Timmons was part of the staff that drafted Jared Tenorti.
Right.
So, I mean, that he's going to have a strong voice in there. I think Mark Bergevin and Rick Dudley respect Trevor Timmons a ton and the job that he has done as an evaluator of talent. So, I mean, it's tough because I haven't talked to Mark Bergevin about it, Rick Dudley about it, but or Larry Carrier for that matter about it. I would say that it probably won't play a role. I think this is an enlightened Montreal group where they just want the best players to help them win.
We just got a text that came in a couple of minutes ago. I'm wondering what parallels Pierre sees between scenarios of Ron Hainsey and Jared Tenorti. Are they virtually identical? Hainsey still playing 10 years after the Habs lost him for nothing because he, quote, wasn't ready. Different defenseman. Completely different defenseman.
And that's a well-founded assumption. It is. You look at it, you can see why somebody would have that. No. Totally different players. One guy's a really slick, skilled player, Ainsley. The other guy's a hard-nosed, in-your-face, big man who could skate and skate better than most bigger guys around. So, no, I wouldn't agree with that comparison, but I could see how somebody would formulate that foundation. But, no, different guys. I think Jared DeNardi can play. My only caveat on him, and I told you this a long time ago, Mitch, it's a little bit like Komisarek after Lucic did him up. After he got done up in the American Hockey League, I just worry about guys like that. I've seen too many times where they have a tough time responding. I don't mean about fighting either. It's always just a big gunshot.
Skittish.
Yeah, skittish. That's a good word.
When it comes to the Fleischmann file, do they wait to the last possible second to see exactly how the roster is going to shape up? Or is there some kind of nudge-nudge, wink-wink contract just waiting to be formalized here?
I think that Fleischmann's got to be in a situation where for him to be there this long, you've seen most teams let their PTOs go.
David Booth today. Yeah, David Booth is the latest to go today.
Yeah, he went today from Florida. You see most of these teams have let their PTOs go to give them a chance to try to hook up the Quinn Cross that's still in Colorado. But Boy signed in Toronto. So, no, I would say that if he wasn't going to be part of the team, they probably would have let him go by now.
And, Pierre, when it comes to the backup goaltending position, who would have the loudest voice in those discussions? Would it be Marc Bergevin, Michel Therrien, Stefan Waite, or Carey Price?
I think they trust Stefan Waite so much. I wouldn't put that on Carey Price at all. I think that they're looking at their team saying, okay, Stefan, who, why, and tell us when's he going to get it done. So I think Stefan Waite, there's a reason why they went out and they paid him significantly to leave Chicago because he knew he had a special thing going in Chicago. He's got an amazingly trustworthy relationship with Marc Bergevin and with Michel Therrien. So I would say it's Stefan Waite's going to have a huge say in terms of what they're going to do with that.
If Tokarski's feeling any heat, he didn't sound like it after the skate today.
He's a good goalie, having a good camp as well, Bryce's having a good camp as well. So I said I'm just going to play when I play one of these next two and try and get a win.
All right. Before we let you get back into your home or wherever you are, Pierre McGuire, last night after the Toronto Maple Leafs got beat.
I thought our second, we got caught out. Our shifts were too long. Got caught out tired, turned the puck over, dug it out of our net. Those are self-inflicted wounds. You can't have them, so we're just going to have to fix it. But I didn't think the people that you perceive as our good players were good enough. Not even close. They got to lead the way. That's their job.
After a 4-0 loss to Buffalo, Mike Babcock not happy with his best players.
Well, two games in a row, they haven't scored a goal. I can understand that. What he's doing, it's probably what I would have wanted if I had gone to Montreal or gone to Pittsburgh. I would want my coach to do. I want to create an environment where players know how they have to carry themselves and how they have to handle themselves in tough situations. That's what you're trying to do. You didn't hear him raise his voice. You didn't hear him mention names. But guys get the message. He's not being vindictive or angry or making it personal. He's holding the whole organization accountable. And when the organization is accountable, guys get better as long as they want to compete. And that's the one thing I told you about Mike. He's going to put his finger on it, and he's going to lean on it. He's going to lean on it hard. He is not used to this. He is not used to this kind of situation. It's going to be a very different experience for him.
Do you put any stock in these Travis Sajak to the Leafs to reunite with Lou Lamoriello rumor?
Oh, I think there's something to that. Travis is really highly compensated for the amount of production that he has. New Jersey's looking, I think, to get younger and change their organizational identity. New Jersey wants to become a very fast-paced, offensive-type team, changing a lot of what the New Jersey culture and identity was for so long. I wouldn't say there's a ton to it because I think it's going to be a tough one to do. And I also think that, you know, again, what Mike said last night, one of the guys they're counting on is Nazem Kadri. He hadn't done a whole lot. They need him to be good. They need him to be a lot better. It's going to be, I will tell you this, in Toronto, as much as everybody thinks it's going to happen fast, it's going to take time, but it will get done there. I will assure you with Babcock there, it will get done, but it will take time.
You have to know in the game when to take care of the puck and when not to. And you can't just force things in and then hope it's going to go your way. Lots of 50-50 shifts happen in hockey. You take care of the puck. You don't turn it over. That's simple. And you wonder why you have bad goals against a period of time. Well, we're going to fix that. We're not going to do that.
Pierre McGuire, talk to you tomorrow.
That's good. Talk to you tomorrow. That was a very good soundbite. Well done, Ron Francis. Well done.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.